Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers, we were discussing these verses of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes the sifats, the qualities, the attributes of those who are His true servants, the Ibadur Rahman. But then in between we had some nikahs and some other programs, so we could not continue. But today also, before continuing with that subject, something just comes to mind which is of concern to everyone. And if it doesn't concern anybody, then that person has got a weakness of Islam, Iman, and Islamic brotherhood. Who does not know what is happening in Kosovo? And who does not know what is happening in Kashmir and in other parts of the world? Everybody knows what is happening. I have mentioned many times in my Jummah talks that we have just 15-20 minutes to speak, and the audience is such on a Jummah occasion that they know more than the speaker about world events, because they watch the television, they read all the magazines, and they read all the newspapers. They have enough time for everything, so they know more about it than the speaker knows sometimes. So why should we waste that valuable time in just repeating those facts and figures which practically everybody knows? However, what is important is to take a lesson from there and to sympathize with those that are affected, to make dua for those that are affected, to assist and help those that are affected. That is the duty of the Muslim. We should not just say, well, they were weak in their iman and they were weak in their actions and deeds, so Allah Ta'ala sent some kind of azab upon them. That is a very dangerous statement. We should not say that. Yes, we can talk in general terms that when an ummah or a people or a community or a group indulges in certain kinds of sins and vices, then the Quran Sharif has promised, Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran Sharif, and Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised in the Hadith Sharif, that certain azabs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then befall them. Now, who is that group or which group? We are not pinpointing anyone. We must look at our own weakness and take a lesson. Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on one occasion he was addressing the Muhajireen. Now the Muhajireen were those people who made hijrat with Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They left their home, they left their city, they left their families sometimes, and they migrated to Madinah Tayyibah. There are so many incidents of sacrifices of these people when they made hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah. I'm not going to go into any details of that. However, what we do understand is that Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he ordered the Sahabas to make hijrat, then they didn't look back. They made hijrat and they went to Madinah Tayyibah. Now that was a group of pure, clean-hearted, noble, honest, truthful people. So there was no question of it being an azab upon them. It was a test for them of their iman. It was to sort out the believers from the disbelievers, the munafiqeen from the mukhlisin, the hypocrites from the sincere ones. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tested them very severely. And they did not even question Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that when will we come back. And even when they did come back at the time of the conquest of Makkah, Mukarramah, not one sahabi requested Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to allow him to remain behind in his old home. That was the kind of iman they had. But how do we know that it was a test and it was not an azab? We know that it was a test of their patience and not an azab, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala within a few years gave to them not only Makkah Mukarrama but the entire Saudi Arabia. And in the, by the time Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was ruling, more than two-thirds of the world the Muslims were ruling. So we can see that they were blessed from all sides after something was taken away from them. But now let us look at what is happening in the world, the Muslim world today, and see if that is the truth. Because lots of us, when we read that, we say, well, it happened to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they made hijrat, and they left behind everything. They had to fight wars, in which some people became shaheed, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory. Now we have to see if that is happening in the world. Wherever thousands of Muslims have been slaughtered, after that, is there dominance of the Muslims after some time? Bosnia, they were taken to open fields, and thousands of them were shot, slaughtered, mercilessly killed. There was nobody to even shed a tear over them. After that, what happened? After 2-3 years or some time, did they become dominant? The only place that we can say that something really happened is in Afghanistan. That the Muslims made tremendous amount of sacrifices, they made jihad, they gave their lives, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent unseen help. All our tabligh work put together throughout the world, the good work that's taking place. All the khanqas, wherever we are making zikr and tilawat and tasbihat and tazkiyah of the qalb, purification of the hearts, bayans, talim, all those works put together. All the madaris, darul ulums, put together. We cannot close down one cinema. We cannot close down one nightclub. We cannot close down one prostitute quarters. That is our weakness. No matter how much of deen work we are doing, but show me which place all these works put together, we managed to close down a few cinemas, a few theaters, a few gambling dens, and establish Islamic law with all the work that we are doing. It's only those people in Afghanistan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them that spirit of Islam. All this false propaganda and mischievous articles that appear in the newspapers, which is from the Voice of America, the voice of the master, and our Muslim papers also, they take that and go to town. But recently also people that went there and came back, they say you can walk freely anyway in Afghanistan and you've got no fear of anything. You can leave your doors open at night now. Your women are so safe that there is nobody that's going to molest them or hurt them or injure them. All cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, casinos, everything, one sweep, everything was closed. Otherwise, to get Kabul was not an easy thing. Why are they so agitated? Because they were so used to that filthy lifestyles. It's just like when we are soaked in sin and vice, we enjoy those filthy TV films, we enjoy those videos and those movies, we enjoy the cinemas and we enjoy all those shows that are taking place, the musical shows. And then if suddenly Islamic law has to be implemented and we are told that this is totally haram and forbidden in Islam and Sharia, now listen to nice qira'at by the beautiful readers of the world, or listen to nice nazams and naat sharifs by the beautiful reciters of the world, or read good Islamic literature or any permissible literature, jog, run, skip, entertain yourself in a halal way. But with all that also, the person will not be satisfied because the nafs wants to go back to that filth. It brings to mind again that same example of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh. He says that worm in the stool, if a person has to pass his stool on an open ground, so that worm will come out from that stool, and when it sees the sunshine and the beautiful breeze, fresh air, then that worm will not be happy. Because it stayed for a long, long time in that filth, so that worm wants to get back into that filth. And we have seen that that is how the worm goes back into that filth. It is exactly like that, our setup and our state. That because we have indulged in so much of zina and so much of music and so much of haram things, that when we get an environment of deen, then for that little while, we find some peace and some satisfaction. But the moment we go outside, it draws us back again to that filth. So all this opposition that is taking place of Afghanistan is not because of any other reason. They are trying to make the best They are providing separate education facilities for the ladies, for the women, for the girls. They are doing everything to the best of their ability. The only thing they are saying is that we do not want that same filth that is taking place in all the colleges and the universities of the world. So are they saying something that is harmful? That they don't want to see illegitimate children increase in the world. I mentioned in last week Jummah talk, without names, that this young girl just walks into the office with a student of hers from the school, a non-Muslim student, and says that, Maulana, you have to make my nikah now because there's a baby involved here. So this is what they don't want. Alhamdulillah, the jihad that they waged was to get rid of all those things. So what I am getting across to you is this, that all these type of happenings in the world, they are eye-openers for us. Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once addressing, yes, before we forget that hadith, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam was addressing the Muhajireen. And those Muhajireen, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, in one of the hadiths, the first hadith of Bukhari Sharif, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِمْ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Just one person from the entire group of Muhajireen. And these type of incidents happen so that we may take lessons later on. This was the period of tarbiyah of the sahabas. Just one person made hijrat for the sake of marrying a woman. His hijrat was for the sake of marrying a woman, Umm Qais. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you make your hijrat for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then your hijrat is for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But if you make hijrat for the sake of dunya, which you may receive, or some woman that you may marry, then your hijrat is for that. That means you won't get any reward and any sawab. So there was just one like that, otherwise the entire group of Muhajireen, they were all pure, clean-hearted, sincere, noble. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is addressing them. And he tells them, oh you group of Muhajireen, there are five things. There are five things if you engage in it. I'm giving you the meaning of that hadith. If you indulge in it, if you engage in those sins, if you allow those vices to come into your lives, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down the different kinds of azab. There are other hadiths mentioning other things, but this in this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when there will be obscenity, shamelessness, nudity, zina, adultery, fornication, when these type of sins will be committed in abundance in an ummah, in a group of people, in a society, in a clan, in a tribe, then Allah Ta'ala will send down such sicknesses and diseases which the forefathers didn't even hear of. How true it is. Every day's newspaper will tell you of the rise of some other disease before they have even found an antidote to another one. So this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send. It's not that it just happens. Allah ta'ala will send. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when zina, adultery and fornication will increase, then murders and killings will increase. Murders and killings in that ummah will increase. We all are crying about the murders and the killings that are taking place and the slaughter that is taking place. And indeed we should cry, we should make a lot of dua. We should think of those innocent children, women. We have got shelter above our heads. We've got food to eat. We have got clothes to wear. Over 1 million people are in refugee camps. When there will be nobody left there, then they will say you can have your autonomy. And the Muslim world is watching the circus of NATO. Yet they have purchased the most sophisticated equipment from America, from France, the most sophisticated bombers and everything they have got. But there is no mujahid there to say that we must use it now. If we are not going to use it now, then when are we going to use it? What is it? Just for show? Just for name? Just for information? That Saudi Arabia owns so much, and Jordan has so much, and Iraq has so much. Is that the purpose of purchasing all those things? But since we cannot do much about that, no matter how much we shout and scream here, nobody is going to listen to us there. But something that someone is going to listen to is the dua from our hearts. The moment we are going to say, oh Allah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for which Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions gave their lives, they gave their blood, they gave their sweat. That ummah today, there is nobody to pass the hand of affection over their heads. That ummah today is pushed from pillar to post. That ummah today is slaughtered like animals, like sheep and cattle. And the whole world is watching. So, oh my Allah, you send down the unseen forces. Or give the spirit to the people of the world, especially the Muslim countries and the Muslim armies, that they must get up from their slumber and get up from their sleep and get up from their indifferent attitude and put themselves into the field. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his 313, they routed an army of 1,000. In the battle of Uhud, 3,000 on the other opposite side, and only 1,000 of Muslims, and from the 1,000 to the 300 were hypocrites. But Allah Ta'ala gave them victory. The Mujahideen of Afghanistan, there are so many incidents, unseen help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala coming. Because the niyat was nothing but to establish the law of Allah on earth. When the niyat and intention is going to be just the establishment of the law of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will send his unseen help. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when there will be an abundance of zina, of adultery, of fornication, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cause such diseases to rise in those communities which the forefathers didn't even hear of, and there will be plenty of murders and killings and deaths. Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that when he's addressing the muhajireen and telling them that if you are going to cheat in weight and measurement, and I discussed this at length when we were doing one of the ayats of the Quran Sharif about reducing everything to writing. So if you are going to cheat in weight and measurement, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cause famine, drought, and Allah Ta'ala will cause the enemies to engulf you. The enemies of Islam will then engulf you. In some countries there's famines, some countries there's drought, and some countries there was plentiful, but the way they were chased out of their places, from their towns and cities, and slaughtered and butchered, that there was nothing left there. Or Allah Ta'ala sends down some flood or some earthquake or something of that sort and destroys them. So he said, when you are going to cheat in weight and measurement, and that goes right through in everything, there's a weight and there's a measurement. It's not only just weighing onions and potatoes that you must not cheat. There are so many crooks around, cheating in different ways and different forms. Right from the top to the bottom, from the government level right down to our level. So much of crookery, so much of cheating, so much of fraud, so much of stealing, that it's unbelievable. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cause the Muslims to then be engulfed by their enemies. For the disbelievers, this is a dunya which is jannat for them. In this dunya, it is jannat for them. We must not look at them. Their progress is of a different kind, our progress is of a different kind. Allah Ta'ala hasn't stopped us from progress, but our progress must be according to the Quran and Sunnah, then that will be progress. And it's not that Muslims will be not able to enjoy the ni'mats of this world. Allah Ta'ala will give them plentiful. They ruled over countries. They were not deprived. Allah Ta'ala gave them the best after that. And enjoyment and satisfaction together with it. Not that they were given all these worldly things and they have to keep increasing the dosage of the drugs, because that high that they went, it was not sufficient. And finally they end up in the madhouse. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave these people satisfaction, contentment. So he said, when you are going to cheat in weight and measurement, then this is what is going to happen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when you are going to stop giving your zakat, when you are not going to pay your zakat, then Allah Ta'ala will cause the rain to be held back. And if it had not been for the animals, Allah Ta'ala would not have sent down rain. In so many countries, sometimes 6 months, 8 months, they wait and wait, not a drop of rain falls. Namazes upon namazes are made in the open fields, nothing happens. Why it doesn't happen is because the people that are gathering there have got no intention of giving up their haram. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to make a joke of these namazes and duas and zikr and tilawat and ibadat and deen work. The first condition is that we must make up our firm niyat that we want to give up the sins of our lives. And then raise your hand and see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives. And after that, if you don't get what you asked for, then believe very firmly and strongly that Allah Ta'ala wants to give you something better in return. The person was sick and kept making dua for shifa and health, but he didn't get it. The person was poor and asked for wealth, but he didn't get it. Then believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give something better in return, or is removing some azab and some bala and some difficulty that was going to come, which we did not know. The person was probably going to take a drive somewhere, and he was going to be held up, and he was going to be shot. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of that dua of his which he made for health, and made for wealth, and made for pious children, and made for all other things, Allah ta'ala protected him from something else. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when you are going to go against the haq, whatever is the haq, whatever is the truth, when you are going to go against it and you are going to implement un-Islamic laws, when you are going to shun the laws of the Quran and the Sunnah and follow the laws of the governments of the time or the family traditions or the customary practices, and haq will be suppressed, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you will have a lot of infighting. A lot of infighting will take place. Plenty of infighting. Outwardly we may have a lot of claim to be pious and righteous, but when we are not going to implement haq in our lives, sometimes it's an inheritance matter, sometimes it's some other matter. The Quran says something, and our customary practice or our family tradition says something else, then which law do we implement? If we are not going to implement the haq laws, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah ta'ala will cause them to fight among themselves. Which family today can say that there are no fights? Brothers and sisters, parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren, aunties, uncles, nieces and nephews, alhamdulillah, we are all united, very happy, and we are enjoying life. Comfortable, satisfaction, we've got peace in our heart. Which family can say that? These are all azabs that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has promised. So it's not there just to read or just to listen. Believe me, I can take qasam a million times in this masjid and tell you that if only we have to give up, we won't be able to give it up one night or in our day's time or 24 hours time. But if we make our minds that we want to get the closeness of Allah, and what are we going to get in making shaitan and nafs our friends? At the time of death, does shaitan come and help anybody? Or those who are indulging in zina, in fornication, adultery, and stealing, and crime, and all those things, at the time of death, what do they take with and go into the grave? Did anybody take all that stolen goods that he had? Did anyone take all those containers in the grave? We will say no, but he enjoyed life with all those things. Brothers, believe me, we can take qasam and say they never enjoyed life. There's restlessness, anxiety, and worries that we may get caught, we may be arrested, we may have to land in jail. So what kind of happiness and enjoyment after that? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us this warning. So we can take qasam and say that if we give up sins in our lives and then make some dua, make some zikr, some tilawat, some deen work, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us speedy progress. And He will give us such peace and such happiness and such contentment and satisfaction in our hearts. As you have heard many times, that there will be those diamonds which the kings also don't know of. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me first of all the tawfiq to practice. And may Allah ta'ala remove the hardship and the difficulties and the problems of our Muslim brothers and sisters in Kosovo, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, in Kashmir, and all other parts of the world wherever they are suffering. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give a change of heart. Allah ta'ala must make these incidents eye-openers that we turn towards Allah. They also turn towards Allah. It must not happen that when they are in refugee camps, as happens always, that in the refugee camps, if a person has to go, then the only concern is food, clothing, shelter. You don't find much namazes, you don't find much turning towards Allah. So then how do we expect Allah Ta'ala's help to come? But we must make dua. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Wa akhiru da'wana.